There's approximately 4 million legal firearm owners in South Africa at the moment. And as we approach the elections on 29th of May, the SA Gun Owners Association, they've initiated a campaign inviting top political parties to articulate their policies and perspectives on South African firearm ownership. Damien Enslin is the chair of the SA Gun Owners Association. No organization, no group is necessarily a monolith, but I appreciate that an organization like the Gun Owners Association, with 4 million registered gun owners in South Africa, they have a vested interest in one part of our policy in South Africa. Your call to political parties, what are you inviting them for?
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for the opportunity to be on the radio. So we're asking them, obviously, what their view is on firearm issues. So first of all, obviously, the principle of owning a citizen owning a firearm, that's obviously one of the principles. You should have the right as a citizen to own, to choose to own a firearm. You may decide that you don't want to own a firearm. That's your choice. But there are many out there that do want to own firearms for different reasons. Could be sport shooting, could be hunting, could obviously be for self-defense purposes, collecting, etc. So that's the main principle. And obviously some political parties are completely against that, against the right of the citizen to choose to own a firearm.
We have quite stringent rules regulating South African gun ownership.
Yes.
At the moment. As someone, and I'm open to someone's legal right if they are found to be of sound mind to own one.
Right.
I am not necessarily someone who's necessarily nuts about guns, but we already have
Yes.
extremely stringent firearm license regulations in South Africa. In terms of an organization, are you calling for some deregulation, some unshackling of some of the current regulations?
So look, I think we have a really good piece of legislation, and the firearms contract certainly has some flaws. There are some issues that must be addressed and corrected. There are some competency issues with regards to the way the police deal with competencies and the way the police deal with some applications. But by and large, it's a good piece of legislation, we believe that there should be some controls. Not everyone should own a firearm, especially criminals and those with obviously severe mental disorders should not own firearms. So it's good to have a robust piece of legislation. The problem, of course, is you can have the best legislation in the world, but it's not enforced correctly, and that's always a particular problem. You know, many reports have come out to say that effective policing is a solution to major crime in South Africa. And that's one of the issues that we have with the police, is that there's no more effective policing of legislation. So we certainly believe that the law-abiding citizen should own a firearm, but not everyone should own a firearm. And the legislation is there to restrict the process of obtaining firearms, because the criminals don't go through that process at all.
Of course, we have the scourge of illegal firearms.
Correct.
In the hands of criminals. We also have had cases when police officers in control of the registry of firearms, I'm thinking of the Prinsloo case, have been arrested, charged. Prinsloo is already out on parole after serving, a fraction of these 18-year sentences. What are you hoping for a new government in after 29th of May, how to address the scourge of illegal firearms in South Africa?
So there are a number of sections that should be addressed. Number one, you have identified the police issue. So the amount of corruption within the police, and that so many firearms find their way out of the police system into criminals' hands. You've just identified one of them, but there are multiple cases like that. Just one recently, again, at Mitchell's Plain Police Station, again, where another 15 firearms went missing. They were meant to be on their way to the ballistic testing. So the police should have a proper audit. And in fact, it's been called for in Parliament at the portfolio committee level to audit all the police stations. That's the one issue. And obviously accountability. There's a lack of accountability when it comes to it. But at a higher level, we've got a big problem with crime intelligence. There's a major organized crime in South Africa, and there needs to be a proper crime intelligence. We've lost that crime intelligence. You can't combat an international problem with firearms coming across the border all the time without having proper crime intelligence. Then the other aspect is CFR itself. So the Central Firearm Control Register itself is problematic, and it's been identified time and time again that the system can often be not up to date or corrupt. And again, there's a corrupt officials involving issuing licenses to criminals out there. So that's another issue that needs to be addressed. And then, of course, special task force units. We had the Project Impi a few years ago, and that actually identified and brought to light the Prinsloo case. So we need a special task force unit that understands all the issues with regards to the illegal firearms. It's not just cross-border. There are current arms caches. There's a lot of corruption in the police. There's quite a few things that need to be done by government to identify the problem with illegal firearms.
Damon, I'd like your thoughts on the recent case involving the agricultural group SAI, who brought an application to the High Court, asking the court to rule that the destruction of 50,000 firearms was in fact illegal until police confirmed through ballistics reports and records that those arms were in fact used in criminal activity. As someone who sits on the fence that I do not necessarily want to see any unnecessary guns, I would say yes, destroy guns. But I like your thoughts on that particular case where the court ruled that yes, the police need to confirm first that these guns were in fact involved in crime and then could be subject for destruction.
Well, what is interesting, you're talking about the guns that are obviously get destroyed, and you may be aware that we had a number of amnesties recently. Sort of 2020 was one of the last amnesties we had, and many, many guns were handed in by primary law-abiding citizens who didn't want firearms for whatever reason, estate firearms, etc., that no one wanted to apply for. So a lot of those guns obviously never found their way from criminal activity at all. But of course, if firearms are used in criminal activity, ballistic testing perhaps may be a way, but there are also reports about ballistic testing not being sufficient or enough to convict someone. Because I'm not sure if you're aware, Lester, but every time you fire a round down a barrel, you wear out that barrel. And Dr. David Klatzer did quite a bit of report on ballistic testing of firearms, of ballistic sampling of firearms. So it's a science that's been around for a long time, but it's not a perfect science. So the SAPS and part of the process of the amnesty was the ballistic test of the firearm, but it caused major backlogs because our ballistic testing units do not have the capacity when there are the amnesties to ballistically test all these firearms, because obviously they're trying to combat and use that for crime. So in one way, yes, it's good if the firearm has been used in a criminal activity, but the vast majority of firearms that have been destroyed over the years are firearms that have been handed in by law-abiding citizens who don't want them or feel that the process of applying for a firearm license is too laborious and too involved. So many of those firearms, in fact, many questions have been asked in Parliament that all those firearms that have been handed in terms of amnesty, have any of them ever been used in a crime? And they haven't been able to connect any of those firearms to any criminal activity at all.
Damon Ezin, really appreciate your time as chair of the SA Gun Owners Association. 21.